The Burt Show.
And this is Lori from Friday's show telling us about her first date that she had lined up.
I was hanging out with this group of friends. There's been this guy hanging out for, like, I guess about a year. And ever since, I've had a total crush on him. So one of my girlfriends was like, listen, if you're not going to make the move, I'm just going to set you up. Basically, she's invited us all to hang out on a patio this weekend. What she decided to do was have everybody cancel except for me and this guy. And then I'm supposed to make something happen.
We were nervous about this one going in. Just too many.
Too many people in the plan.
Yeah, too many people involved. Like, if you ever throw in a surprise party, you have to tell as few people as possible. So once everybody knows, and that's kind of what this was. It's a surprise for him, and too many people knew.
You had to get his guy friends to bail without telling him they're bailing.
Right.
And then if they are bailing, yeah, someone's going to say why eventually. You know the reason why we took off, man.
Yeah.
Lori wants to hook up with you. Did you get some? Here's Lori back on the Voiceless Geyser. Hey, Lori.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good.
We gave this one about a 15% chance of working going into the weekend.
Too many obstacles.
Oh, no.
It worked?
Well, yeah, I mean, it worked as planned. Like, we showed up, just us two, and we were like, I wonder where everybody is.
So you're sitting there, and he's sitting there, and nobody else is there, and then you put the face on.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder, where everybody could be. And he starts texting, and I start texting, and he's like, he looks up, and he's like, oh, everybody canceled. And I was like, what are we going to do? And he just stops for a minute, and he goes, I don't know about you, but my brother-in-law's in town, and him and I are going over the cheetah tonight. So... have a good night. Like, pays for his drink, gets up and leaves.
Oh no!
So apparently the feelings are not mutual.
And he, I'm like,
don't answer.
What
that.
A jerk! Like, who goes first of all? Like, leaves a girl sitting on a patio. Second of all, like, the cheetah. Oh my
what?
God!
Well, he either just sees you as a friend. Or a periphery friend. Even
You're a friend. You're hanging out, and then he's like, oh. Cool. Everybody bailed, so he's like, he probably figures, why you want to hang out with him? Why does he want to hang out with you? Bye-bye. And you can't judge him for going to the cheetah. Like, he's not your boyfriend right now, so.
I know.
Like, you can't be like, oh, what a jerk. He left me for the cheetah. Who cares?
Well, she has a crush on him. That's why she cares.
Anyway, now.
Say that one more time.
I don't want him to be my boyfriend anyway now.
Why? Because he went to the cheetah?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he seems like a jerk now.
Just because he bailed on
you. Because
he didn't
want to hang out.
She's trying to save face. So he showed you that he wasn't as interested in you as you are in him. So you got to move on, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
But I guess the silver lining is you didn't have to save face or embarrass yourself afterwards by asking him out or whatever. It was kind of like a perchance situation. Helped you figure out the answer without being embarrassed by it because he doesn't know that that was planned.
I guess it was a good test.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if he was interested in you
and
you guys were running in the same group anyway, you'd have known that by now.
You can't test a guy you don't know. Like, you can't, I mean, it's not, you can't.
Oh, we're always testing you, Jeff. It's just what women do.
What do you mean by that? Is that a test? Is that a test by you telling us
that
you always test
this?
Is that a test?
It is.
Hey, Susan, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, that is totally not fair. You cannot call that guy a jerk when you tricked him into going on a date with you.
Well, and he's going to find out, too. He's totally going to find out.
No, I think his friend's already told him. That's probably why he said he was going to the Cheetah Club. His friend probably texted him.
Because he was texting to say, plans are canceled. So I bet you one of his guy friends sent him a text that she set it up.
Regardless, if he was interested in her, that none of that would have mattered.
No.
You know, I don't fault her at all for setting this up to see if he liked her without, like Jen said, having to ask him out. So, I mean, it just, she got the answer she wanted.
Yeah. He's just
well, she got
interested.
An answer.
She got
just
an answer.
The one
right.
She wanted, yeah.
So you're not planning on pursuing this guy anymore, you guys. So here's the tough part now. Is like, now how do you guys start hanging out again just as platonic friends when now you think he's a jerk?
I don't know. I mean, what if he did get a text that said, you know, she's trying to date you, like, stay away or something. I don't know.
It's inconsequential.
Like, that'd be weird, you know, make it weird.
It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter because you didn't do anything definitive, and now you know he's not interested in you. So I think it's much easier to be able to stay in the friend group and not have any awkwardness than it would have been if she asked him out.
Maybe. Because, you know. Either way, it's...
You think he's a jerk because he rejected you. That's why. Not because of the cheetah.
Right? Would you have a problem if anybody you dated went to a strip club?
I mean...
They're not dating.
I guess if I knew that they, like, cared about me and, you know, it was just with the guys and it was just, like, for work or for, you know, something funny, I'd be okay with it.
So it's not a deal breaker for you if he was interested in you?
I guess not. We're not even having an affair.
No, but it is because she's saying that he's a jerk. I was trying to figure out, is he a jerk because he doesn't like her or is he a jerk because he went to the strip club?
Because he doesn't like her.
And she's saying that if it was a guy she liked and he went to the strip club, that's okay. So it's not the strip club. It's the fact that he doesn't like her. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
I don't think there's anything else there. Hey, Mary, good morning. You're on Q100.
Yeah, I think that it's incredibly inappropriate what she did. I mean, they've been hanging out for a year. This guy would have asked her out already. He didn't. I mean, this is like, I absolutely fault her. If I were a guy and I were interested in a girl, I would have made a move already. This would have happened before.
Well, I mean, you assume all guys are going to make moves on all girls that they're interested in. We've also heard guys talk about how they stay friends with girls until that moment where... Yeah. So I really don't fault her for doing what she did. She's just testing the waters.
We could wait years and years.
I mean, which is worse. Yeah, a guy that is, you know, claiming to be your friend and all he's doing is waiting until you get drunk enough for him to sleep with you. I mean, everybody's testing the waters all the time.
All right, Brittany, at least you have closure. He's not interested in you.
I got it.
Yeah. All right. Well, Lori, I mean, I said Brittany, but that's the next caller that was lined up.
And it's not our fault, so she's mad at us, too.
I know. She's sort of having an attitude about it this morning.
I got it, Bert. I got it.
We understand.
Sorry, we got to let you go, Lori. We're all going to the cheetah.
The Bert Show.
Hello?
Hello.
Makai.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you today?
Good.
Man, thanks a lot for taking the time to join us.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure.
Let me go right around the room, and this is going to take a while because we have 19 people on the show. I'm Bert, and this is Jan.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
And this is Wendy here.
Hi.
And this
Hello, Wendy. And
Melissa.
Hey, Makai.
How you doing?
Good.
And Brittany's not part of the show, but she thinks you're hot, so she
needs...
Hey. Hey. Hey, what's happening?
Well, man, before we go forward, we got to go backwards a little bit and talk ER here for a second.
Yes.
I'm really curious. I guess it's in 2008 that... the producers / writers of NBC decide, okay, we're probably done with your character here. Was that a contractual thing, or is that something they tell you about beforehand? And
yeah, no, I actually had a lot to do with that. It was kind of a thing where I felt like it was time to go. You know what I mean? I had done the character for a long time, and it was just time to go. So it wasn't like a thing where they were going, okay, well, we're tired of Dr. Pratt. They actually wanted to stay. I just felt like it was time to go. You know?
How that must have been a very difficult decision to make, because I mean, from what we've heard as actors, I mean, you're always a little bit insecure that you're not going to get like a really meaty, juicy part to continue to play, and here you have one of the greatest shows in TV history, and you're saying, you know what, I'm just sort of done with it.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, that's the business that we've chosen. You know what I mean? And it is very unorthodox, and you don't know what's coming up next, but that's the nature of the beast, you know what I mean? And you got to be confident in yourself that you will again prevail and work again one day and do more great things.
Is there a fine line between being too, being on a show too long and being stereotyped or typecast, rather, and knowing when to leave?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I mean, the beautiful thing about television is that you do get a chance to really be in people's homes every week, and they really do get to grow with you. The bad thing is that you can get locked into a particular character. In my case, I don't really feel like that was going to be the case. You know, like I had started out already doing films and other things like that, so it wasn't like this show was my first foray in the acting arena. But, sometimes you just want to keep it fresh, you know what I mean? And, you know,
Mekhi Pfeiffer joining the Burt Show on Q100 this morning.
Now, Mekhi, you co-starred opposite Eminem in 8 Mile. I'm just curious about Eminem taking this step away from his career and coming back. You think he can make a comeback?
Oh, definitely. I think that, you know, Eminem was one of those rappers that when he wasn't here, you know, I think his presence was definitely missed. I don't think that his the void that he had when he wasn't rapping anymore was filled. So I think that his presence is definitely going to be felt again, I hope.
I think we read this morning that you started out in the rap industry. Were you rapping before Eminem was rapping?
I don't know if I was rapping before him. You know, I was definitely doing it years ago. I don't know how long it took him to actually make it. But I'm pretty sure he didn't just wake up one day and said, I want to rap.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Yeah, so I'm pretty sure from the time we're about the same age. So, you know, I'm pretty sure we were probably, you know, stepping into the arena around the same time.
When you work with somebody like him, is that somebody you get close to on the set? Do you become friends with your co-stars?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we definitely had a good time and we hit it off. We had a hell of a lot of fun. You know, we took us about 5 or 6 months to shoot the film, and I had the best time. And, you know, I grew to love Detroit, you know what I mean? So it was just a lot of fun.
Would you ever go back to rapping?
Ah, man, not right now. I'm already past that heyday, you know what I mean? I'm already in my 30s, and, you know, those days are over. I haven't rapped in years.
What about a movie with rapping?
that probably wouldn't be that bad. I mean, it just depends on what it is and what the role is and, you know, what it is that we're doing.
You know, before we get into Lie to Me here, you know, Ashton Kutcher is in Atlanta right now, and he's filming a movie. Is there anything that you haven't said to him yet about your Punked episode that you would like to say to him?
No, it's funny because I bumped into Ashton. No, you know, it's all good. There's nothing, no ill will, no. I don't harbor any bad feelings or anybody. I had a good time. It was actually funny.
After something like that happens, you got to be sort of like a little bit curious at anything out of the ordinary that happens on any given day. You're like looking over your shoulder. Is that an Ashton Kutcher thing, or is this really happening to me?
Well, you know, it's so funny because they really did a good job with that show because you really don't expect it as much as you want to say that you're on point, you know, and I'm a New Yorker, so I always feel like I'm a New Yorker, you know, I know what's going on, but, you know, you just never know. They really do a great job with that.
Well, talk to us about Lie to Me. I mean, you've got the benefit of being on a TV show that it's going to go down in history as one of the greatest TV shows ever, and right. Here now you sign up to do Lie to Me. There's got to be a lot of pressure on the people around you right now.
well, yeah, it's a lot of fun, you know, I just thought it was a great opportunity. You know, Tim Roth is great, and, you know, obviously I love Brian Grazer and all the work that he's done, and I know Brian. He's a great producer. So, you know, I just felt like, you know, and the thing about ER was I really got in on the 9th season. So, you know, it already got all its accolades, and, you know, it was already a well-oiled machine. It's nice to sort of getting something on the ground up and be a part of the show from the ground up.
And you've been doing a lot more producing and directing lately. It seems like you're maybe moving behind the scenes a little bit more in the industry.
Yeah, well, you know, I love both sides. I love both facets. You know, I have directed, but, you know, I really love producing and I love acting. You know, so I'm definitely, you know, always looking for other opportunities to branch out.
But we think that you're hot, so we want you in front of the camera. not behind the camera,
yes,
okay?
Take that love, and I, you know, continue to do so.
More FaceTime for you, please.
Hey, thanks a lot for your time, Mekhi. I appreciate it.
No, thank you, guys.
Good luck with Lie to Me. Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. The Burt Show.
All right, so it's been a couple of days here since we talked to Melanie. So just as a quick recap here, here's who Melanie is and why she called us.
I was out with my girlfriends on Saturday night. We met some guys, and I was talking to this one guy all night. But then they left, and he didn't get my phone number. But then one of his friends came back in and said he wants to get your phone number. So he's been texting all week. But he's made sent two texts, and I'm not sure if he knows who he's talking to.
All right, so does that make it entirely clear who she is?
I think so. I mean, she thought that he was getting a couple of the details wrong when he was texting with her. So she was afraid when she showed up for the date, he was going to be expecting it to be one of her friends that she was with, not her.
Wasn't there like some kind of psychological weight loss issue thing going on here also? Like,
she had mentioned how in high school she was bigger than she is now. And so I think that we felt like a lot of her interpretation of everything that was going on was based on the fact that she felt, I guess, the sense of rejection or fear of rejection. And we were like, you got to get that out of your head because
insecure.
This is, yeah, absolutely.
So we sort of talked her into going on the date and just say, you know what? Let's let destiny take over. What's the worst thing that can happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we never checked back in with her. So let's find out what happened. Hey, Melanie.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good. Thanks.
All right. So the last time we checked in with you, you were just throwing caution to the wind mm-hmm. and you were going to go for it. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? He sees you. You see him. It's uncomfortable.
Right.
Wrong person. You have a couple of drinks and then you go your way. He goes his way. But at least you gave it a shot. So how did
well,
it
Well, after I talked to you guys, I decided I was going to call him. Like, I was just going to put it out there because I didn't want to just show up. I just thought, I'm just going to call him and put caution to the wind and call him.
Mm-hmm.
He answered the phone because obviously it's the number he's been texting all week. And I said, hey, I said, you know, I just wanted to call you because I kind of think, he said, are we going out tonight? And I said, yeah. I said, maybe. I said, but I kind of think you're talking, you might be possibly talking to the wrong girl. I said, just by the things you said.
Mm.
And we went through them all. And he said, you know what? He said, to be honest, I really did think you were someone else. He said, but I enjoyed talking to you that night, too.
Okay.
So let's, you know, meet up at Maggiano's.
Okay.
Fantastic. You're like, okay, that's cool. Okay. So you kind of cleared the air before
right.
it started.
So,
okay.
Good.
I got there early.
Uh-huh.
And he never showed up. He never showed up.
No.
Yeah, he stood me up.
Oh, what a tool.
No way.
I can't believe he did that.
So
and I texted him, and he never wrote me back.
Oh,
sure.
No.
Wow. Why wouldn't he have just told
cool.
you on the phone?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
No.
Maybe there's a guy listening that could give us better perspective on this. Like, she said that he never called, and you immediately in your head knew why? Because I'm coming up with nothing right now.
He had his out. You know, you gave him his out, and he didn't take it, but yet he still was so incredibly rude.
Let's back up for just 1 second. So when you called him, tell us about that conversation. There has to be an indication somewhere in those couple of minutes that you talked to him that either turned him on or turned him off. I don't know.
He was just the most nice, outgoing guy. Like, we had a great conversation on the phone. It wasn't, do you know what I'm saying? It wasn't awkward. It was kind of weird when I told him. He was kind of quiet for a couple of seconds, but it wasn't like, you know, it didn't totally change the conversation.
And he was the one that arranged, like, where to go and what time and all that?
Yeah, he set up everything. Like, say anything about that.
What
he told me where, when.
That sucks.
I know. I've got zero answer at all.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Why? Yeah.
When you're sitting there waiting for him, what are the stages that you're going through? You're like, oh, he must be late. Then do you worry? Do like, what were your stages?
No,
were
I didn't
you, like,
worry.
Mad?
You, like,
mad or sad?
I don't know. Like, I was looking at the clock, and we were meeting at 7, and by 7:08, I was just like, I don't think he's coming, you know? Because, I mean, really, it's going to happen. Because if you're meeting someone, like, that's new, you're usually not that late. You know what I mean?
Have you guys ever been stood up like that before?
Not that, no. Not
I haven't.
I have, one time. One time.
Really?
Yeah, she was so smoking hot, too. And she was supposed to come by my place, and she was picking me up. These were back in the college days when I lost my car and I had my scooter. So she had to pick me up. Loser.
That explains it.
Yeah, that's probably why she didn't show up, which I would have understood. But no call, no nothing. And I just remember sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And after a while, the realization hits you that she's just not coming by, but you still talk yourself into it. Like, maybe, you know, something happened with the family. I'm sure she'll show up. An hour, hour and a half, 2 hours before.
That's horrible.
It is. It's the loneliest feeling ever. That's when I made the 30-minute rule up. Like, if you don't hear anything in 30 minutes,
right,
then just go about your night. And if he shows up, he shows up. But at 30 minutes, that's it.
Right. How long did you wait?
I waited till like 7:30.
That was it.
Like 30 minutes.
Yeah. But it's just the most cowardly thing to do.
I just can't figure out
why. And then, I mean, this is such a big, small town. You know you're going to run into him again.
Totally.
And then he has to feel like a jerk all over again rather than just calling you and canceling.
Hey, Chad, you have some kind of explanation on why he might have just bailed?
I don't know, man, really. If he would only text you, And then he really didn't even know who you was on top of the whole situation. I think he only had one thing in mind, and he still didn't show up. So.
Well, if he only had one thing in mind, he should have showed up. I mean, that would be the reason for going.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Anthony. You're on Q100.
Yeah, he's just a big jerk. He isn't even worth your time. Basically, what happened was he didn't have anything planned himself because he's that much of a loser. And then when he finally had something come up, maybe one of his buddies said, let's do this. Then he went along with it and totally ditched her.
Oh, that sucks. I hope that's not the case. But you're right. She's going to run into him.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are going to see each other out again at some point. Even if it's not within the next year, it'll be at some point.
And don't
you have the power? You have the power on that one because he's the jerk.
I wouldn't even give him the satisfaction of addressing it with him. Yeah. When you see him out, pretend like it wasn't even a big deal.
You don't even
because
know him. He may not remember what you look like.
Oh, that's right.
No, he may not because he was drinking that night. Who knows?
Well, that would be awesome. He if you could come on to him again and set up something and then stand him up.
And stand him up.
So much energy.
Now you're thinking.
Yeah. But I think that, I mean, he obviously didn't, I mean, he didn't remember who you were. And he was just trying to be nice on the phone, I guess. But I still don't understand why he would go through with making you go somewhere and sit, knowing he's not coming.
Hey,
right, exactly.
Steve, go ahead. You're on Q100.
Yeah, how you doing? You guys are great. I just want to know, did she go to the right Maggiano's, being that there's three here in Atlanta?
Is he sitting somewhere thinking you stood him up, maybe?
No, I definitely went to the correct one.
It was a nice try.
Because you texted him, right?
Yeah, if he thought if he was at the wrong one or whatever, they would have. Yeah,
he would have responded to you or something. Or said something. Yeah.
I mean, there's zero reason at all not to send a text.
He's just a jerk.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, Nikki.
Hey. Good morning.
Hey. Hi. How are you?
First of all, I hate this guy already, but to his not really his defense. What if like his friend that went back into the bar to get the number was kind of playing a prank on him, like purposely getting the wrong number. So he'd be, I don't know. Like, I feel like it has nothing to do with her. I think it was one of his immature friends, like trying to prank him or something.
But then why would he set up a date and then not call and just completely stand her up? What does he get out of that?
I think he feels like an idiot, and he's probably thinking, oh, God, you know, I already look this bad. I'm going to show up. I don't know.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense.
There's a part of me that thinks that it worked out better than if you had just shown up and he saw you, you know, and had that physical reaction to the fact that you weren't who he thought you were. Because if he's that much of a jerk to stand you up, then no telling what he would have done in person, you know?
If he actually showed up.
Yeah.
What a total boosh. Yeah, we could probably spend the next hour speculating on why he didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line in the whole thing is there is zero excuse for not just sending a text. Even if there was an emergency, after the emergency, you text and go, oh, my God, I am so sorry that I didn't show up. Zero reason not to do that. So he's a big old boosh, and you're better off without him.
Yeah, sorry about that.
No, definitely. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Melanie. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Poor thing.
That sucks.
Dude, I'm telling you, if you guys have never been there before, there is nothing lonelier than sitting there on the couch watching TV, because seconds feel like minutes, minutes feel like hours, and the rejection that you're going, you feel like such a fool when you stand somebody up.
She had to do it where there was like servers around and people going, can I get you something? Would you like to go ahead and order?
It's worse in a restaurant or a bar.
Because you're like, oh, there's going to be two of us. I'm just waiting on them. Have they come yet? No, I got to go.
You're faking the look at the door. Oh, yes.
Not terrible. Good.
The Burt Show.
We will call her Holly.
Holly. Okay.
Wants to be on The Voice Disguiser. I didn't even realize college graduations were going on now.
Mm-hmm. This week.
This weekend or next weekend?
Well, this weekend, yeah. I mean, they're the next couple weekends, but there's several colleges this weekend.
Well, Holly here wants to be on The Voice Disguiser, and she's supposed to be graduating this weekend, right, Holly?
Hi, yes.
Hi.
How are you?
Oh, there's such a heaviness.
I know. You seem very concerned.
A little.
Okay.
I just, you know, it's graduation weekend, and I really want it to be a good one, but it's just such a weird situation. I really, you know, I don't know what my place is or what to do.
All right, so this is really more about your roommate than it is you, right?
Yeah, it's not about me. But I'm kind of, I mean, I technically could be in the middle of it. So my roommate, who I've lived with through school, we live in an apartment off campus. But we're roommates because our parents are friends. I mean, we grew up together, and then when we went away to school together, we became, but we're not really friends.
Mm-hmm.
So she's more like, you know, family or a cousin. And I found out, this is going back like 3 semesters now, that she's not in school anymore. And our parents are coming tomorrow morning for our graduation to see both of us graduate.
How did you find out that she hasn't been in school for 3 semesters?
Because, this is a long time ago, but my computer was out, so I was on her computer. And, okay, I was snooping, but I was, you know, going through stuff on the computer. And there was a letter from the school saying that, you know, because of academics, you know, whatever, that she wasn't doing well in school, and so she couldn't continue.
And she's never addressed this with you?
She's never told me.
Wait, so
I don't know.
She doesn't know that you know.
She has no idea that I
know. So she's been snowing you, too, saying that she's still in school and pretending to go to class and all this other stuff for 3 semesters as roommates, and you've had no idea.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
Well, I do know, but yeah, I mean, she thinks that I have absolutely no idea, and she probably won't tell me because she knows that I would tell my parents and my parents would tell her parents.
It's her problem. Like, I don't understand why you're so concerned about graduating.
Yeah, why do you, because, you feel like you got to get your hands dirty in this whole thing?
Because, well, I don't know whether I do or not, but our parents are getting up. They live 4 hours away. They're driving here together early in the morning to show up to come to our graduation. Like, do I tell them? Because otherwise they're going to be completely off guard. I mean, I don't know where the tuition money's going. I don't know any of that. So do I just let it fly? I mean, it's going to be a disaster.
Mm-mm. I think you have to tell your parents.
What?
I think she has to tell her parents because the fact that you now know, your parents, because they're riding down with her parents and family friend and all that stuff, are going to be celebrating her graduation as well.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to, she may be coming clean this weekend. Like, how is she going to participate in the ceremony? You know what I mean? Like, is she just going to sneak in? I know they're big and whatever. Maybe she's just going to sneak in and stand with, or whatever.
You can't get your cap and gown, though, without, she won't have access to it.
Right.
But if it's a big school,
she's going to get caught this weekend.
You'll never, I mean, not everybody walks. They just say College of Humanities and 700 people stand up.
I know, but she'll have to be somewhere else because I went to a big school and we couldn't physically get the cap and gown without being able to walk.
So maybe she's coming clean this weekend, but if not, like, your parents are going to congratulate her. Mm-hmm. Your parents are going to give her a gift. Your parents are going to celebrate with her. And I think you have an obligation of telling your parents and saying, look, this is not our business, but I'm telling you because I know and I think you need to tell your parents.
I want to clarify something, though. You said that you went on her. When did you go on her computer?
Three semesters, a year and a half ago.
A year and a half ago, you got the word that she couldn't continue because she wasn't in school.
Right.
That's the only thing that you saw in her computer, right?
Right.
So you have no idea whether she responded to that and has been going to school.
Well, we also have like friends of friends, like mutual friends. So, like, through the grapevine as well.
So you've known for a year and a half she's not been in school.
Oh, see, that changes things. I thought you just found out.
No, this has been a long time. This has been going on. And, it's none of my business normally, but at this point, now it is. It's going to be my business tomorrow morning when I'm going to have to deal with it. Which I don't even want to deal with on my graduation day.
But she could be graduating.
Hold on, let me get some advice from listeners for her. Hey, Carly, you want to be on The Voice Disguiser also?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just letting her know that there's 4 roommates in our house, and 2 of our roommates have done the same thing. One of them was a friend of ours that we've been friends with for about 3 years, and it took her 2 semesters before she'd tell us. She was supposed to graduate this semester as well and just told her parents 2 weeks ago, but she was sick over it. Sick over it.
What did her parents do?
I don't think she told them the whole truth at first. They thought she was only out for a semester and that it was because of student loans. But they've been really pushing her to go back. But the way that her GPA is, I mean, they get those letters, and I'm sure the listener saw the letter. It says that you have to be out a whole year. There's no option for appeal. I mean, it's pretty serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But the other girl she's been lying this whole time, saying that she's got class. Like, you ask her 1 week what time class is, and it's one time. The next week it's another time, but I mean, it's a lot of lying on their part, and I'm sure it's very stressful on their part. you know, but I think that she should just kind of let her roommate tell the parents that, you know, she could be sick over it, or maybe at least bring it up to her about what to do.
Holly, are you feeling some animosity or anger at the fact that your roommate's going to participate in the graduation ceremony and receive congratulations and gifts and attention for something she didn't earn? I'll answer that
no,
for you.
No, I mean, I think I don't, because I really think that, I mean, knowing her parents, like, everything's going to fly tomorrow.
But you sat on it for a year and a half, and now all of a sudden you want to tell, and it's almost like...
You'd be mad.
I would be mad about that, because you've been the one going to class, busting your butt, you're going through with your graduation thing. I would be mad about that.
I might be mad
yeah,
about
I'm
it, but I wouldn't do anything.
She's not. So, really, I mean, I'm...
Right.
You know?
Here's Daniel with some advice. He wants to be on the Voice of Scottsboro also.
I'm on the Voice of Scottsboro.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I did the similar thing. What type of school is it? Is it a major university?
Yeah,
it's a big school.
It's a big school.
It's a big
yes.
school. She doesn't want to say which one.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. As long as it's a big school, you definitely can still walk. I don't think you should tell the parents. I got down to the wire and didn't pass class, so I wasn't able to actually graduate. But we worked around it pretty well, and were still able to get me on a gown and get me on the field. They don't check. They pretty much just put you in a big pool of people and walk you through there as a massive like herd, unless you're like trying to front as an honor grad. And walk like with a perfect, you know, magna cum laude or whatever, then you're not going to have a problem.
All right, so let me ask you this then, Holly. Let's just say in a perfect world for your roommate, I want to get back to something that Jeff said. In a perfect world, let's say she can walk and she gets away with it this weekend.
Well, then I'm pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really?
Then I'm not,
so
yeah.
Really what you want to do is you want to bust her this weekend.
Well, no, then it's just ridiculous. Like, it's this huge lie. I don't want to be around that. Yeah, then I don't want to see all the gifts my parents are getting. That's bad. That whole thing's going to be bad. That's
yeah,
gonna
I think
my graduation weekend.
I think Jeff and Bert are tapping into the truth here, because it's still odd to me why you're so involved.
Because she's angry.
Because she's mad
for
right now.
A year and a half, when to me it's like, it's not my problem. I'm graduating. I'm enjoying my graduation. Who cares?
But they're kind of like sisters. I mean, she said they've known each other all growing up, that their parents are friends. That's the reason that they're roommates. They're not really like friends themselves,
right?
But it's kind of like...
But then I would have brought it
sister.
Up in the last year and a half if I'm that close to her.
It's kind of like she's the sister you've never had, so there's that sort of unspoken competition thing going on.
And the fact that they are... I don't know. I just think the fact that they're roommates
something.
And the way you set it up is we're roommates because our parents are friends. Like, it sounds... I don't know. I just see a lot of underlying anger.
Something weird's going
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Hey, Holly, we got to run because we've got Grant. Hugh Jackman coming on in a couple of minutes. But I want to talk to you again on Monday to find out what you did. For me, the question really in you is, do you want to ruin this weekend for her because you're angry, or do you really want to tell your parents just because you're trying to cover your own butt? But it sure sounds like you're angry and you want to bust her just for the sake of busting her.
Maybe. Perhaps.
Yeah. That's a yes.
I think that's it.
All right. You guys are good.
All right. we'll talk to you on Monday morning about it, though, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. She's telling her. She's busting up this weekend. She's going
to
bust up that weekend.
Even if she decides not to, you know it's going to come out, especially if they go out and have a couple glasses of wine with the graduation dinner.
She's going to be like, look, here's my diploma. Let me see yours.
Yeah, she's going to do something in some
what does yours
subtle
look like?
Totally.
Yeah, with an ulterior motive.
Yeah, let's get a picture with our diplomas.
Yes. It's going to happen.
The Bert Show.